Away from your radio? Listen to 1010XL on the 1010XL app, a free download for all smartphone users, or say, Alexa, open 1010XL.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Yeah, some ARS! It was voodoo in the vibes. Mm-hmm. Captured by your style. I could not catch your eyes. That's deep lyrics, ladies and gentlemen. Now I stand here helplessly hoping you'll get into me as we go into the night. And it's not just any night. Hell no! The schedule to be released in less than 1 hour. And I know there's been a lot of leakage around the NFL. I am privy to some of this information. And I shall not speak on it. That's just the way it's going to be. We're going to have some fun with it, though, over the next hour. Because I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to be caller intensive. It's a rarity for me right out of the gate because I happen to be a little long-winded. Happen to be a guy who has an opinion, and I don't know, some would say even like the sound of my own voice, but I'm going to give you that shot right now tonight in hour number one at 641-1010 to get on in. 641-1010. Now, a lot of talk about the Jaguar schedule. There has been a couple of published reports that say that Kansas City is coming here on opening day. Personally, I love it. I know it's brutal out there. I know it's 100 degrees. I know that it has an effect on Jaguar fans. You're getting beaten down by the heat. I don't have a remedy for you. I don't know what else I can tell you besides hydration and cover. You know, try to get some shade. But let's be honest about this. Kansas City's a cold-weather football team. Kansas City's also a dynamic football team, a playoff football team. If you're going to get the Kansas City Chiefs, don't you want them right out of the gate when it's triple digits right here in Jacksonville? I mean, you want to play them in mid-October or November when temperatures cool a little bit, and all of a sudden that Kansas City team is once again a well-oiled machine. Don't you want them right out of the gate? Week one, 100 degrees. That's the way that I look at it. I'm going to give you an opportunity, as I just said, to get on in at 641-1010. Okay, a couple of reports are out saying that that is going to be the situation for the Jaguars. They will get an opening day game here at 1 o'clock Eastern against Kansas City. What I am really concerned about is the end of the year. And to me, that is especially important because I've been the sideline reporter now for 6 years, and it seems like every single year the Jaguars end up on the road. And that's very important to me. It's important because you want to make that playoff push, and you get to week 16, you get to week 17, you get to games number 15 and games number 16, and you could be a game out of the wild card. You could be two games out of the wild card. Those games could be such an important element as to whether or not you go off into the playoffs or you go home. And the last couple of years, I know for sure in 2017 and 2018, the Jaguars had their last two regular season games both on the road. And they went 1-3 in those games. You even go back to a couple of years ago when they went all the way to the AFC Championship game. They really struggled on the road at the end of the year. I'm trying to remember who they lost to. Not San Francisco. I'll have to dig it up again. I think it might have been Arizona who they lost to. It might have been Tennessee who they lost to as well. Sometimes these games all seem to run together for me. But, you know, they won a game last year in Miami. I remember that. And then, of course, they lost the game against the Houston Texans. You know, obviously eliminated from the playoffs, and that's another way to look at it. If you're not going to make the playoffs, it doesn't really matter if your game is home or away. But I think on a night like tonight, when the schedule is officially released, you want to be at least excited about this for the time being. And you want to begin to plan your schedule. What games are you going to go out on the road for this year with the Jacksonville Jaguars? And if that is in fact the case, you're able to begin to put that together tonight. Yes, 2017, they were blown out. They weren't blown out. They lost in a shootout to San Francisco, 44-33. That is when Jimmy Garoppolo had an outstanding game. You remember the Jaguars at that particular point had won 7 of 8. They won 7 of their last 8 ball games and had a record that at one point was 3-3. And before they went on the road at the end of the year, they took that 4-3 record and made it a 10-4 record before losing at San Francisco, and they never win on the West Coast. They just don't. Let's not even try to disguise it. I mean, if you get Oakland late this year, if you get Oakland, I want Oakland early, because if all of a sudden you take Oakland on in December and you're in must-win mode where you have to win a game, there's absolutely no proof at all that the Jaguars can win a game on the West Coast late in the year. Whether you're in L.A. or whether you are in Oakland. Those are facts. You go back to 2017, they lost 44-13 at San Francisco. Then they turn around and lost the exact opposite type of game in a very low-scoring affair and what I think is the coldest football game that I have ever been on the sideline for. That was back in Tennessee on New Year's Eve 2017. Jaguars lost that game 15-10 in a very ugly affair. So that's what I'm looking for when the schedule is released in 1 hour. I don't want two straight on the road to wrap up the season. I would like to have a home finale right here in Jacksonville. I read it somewhere earlier today that you got to go all the way back to 2011 for the last time that the Jaguars actually wrapped up the regular season with a home date. And that's highway robbery. That's freaking cruel and unusual. You can't do that. I understand this is one of the new franchises in the NFL, and I understand that small market comes into play, and I understand that there won't be a lot of nationally televised games. My guess is that when this schedule comes out tonight, you'll see the Jaguars play one nationally televised game. They're not going to play Monday Night Football. My guess is it's a Thursday night game, maybe a Sunday night game. They're not going to have Monday Night Football. The Jags don't draw for that. You're not going to get primetime games. But at least give this city, week 17, game 16, a home date. You haven't had one here since 2011. Again, that's just wrong. That's just cruel. So we got a lot to get into tonight. We can kind of project what is out there. Again, I know a lot of things have leaked today. This is so interesting because people just can't wait to be the folks who put their name on what is going on, and I'm not going to do that because I took a serious hand slap mistakenly a few years ago where I was able to grab a schedule and I put it on Twitter and I did some things long before I was supposed to. And at that particular point years ago, it was 4 years ago I did it, I wasn't aware that I wasn't allowed to do that. And, you know, I wasn't reprimanded for it. I was just told that I can't do that. So I made that mistake. And again, I have received some information today, and I'm just not going to go with it because it's really not worth it. The schedule is going to be released within the next 50 minutes. I will only talk about games that I have seen that have been published by others out there where they have, in fact, stated where these games are. But I am going to make predictions along the lines as well. I think they open up with a home game. And again, it has been reported that it's Kansas City. I agree with that. I think they're going to close out the season with a home game. I believe that that's going to happen again for the first time since 2011. And I think we're only going to have one primetime game right here in Jacksonville. That is my opinion. I want to grab yours on it, 641-1010. Let's begin with the weather in the month of September. It is absolutely brutal out there. And it's really, it's not safe. I mean, you have folks passing out in the stands. You have folks who are dehydrated. You mix in alcohol, and it can create all sorts of problems. I think the Jaguars do the best job that they can to help out people in that particular situation. One thing that's great about this stadium is there's plenty of spots where you can go to stay covered, to get in the shade, to grab some air conditioning. Obviously, the West Club and the East Club is great for that, but there's plenty of places where you can go and grab cover. But that should be a huge home field advantage. That should be an enormous home field advantage. Out of anywhere on this schedule where the Kansas City Chiefs are, I want them right there in week one here in this city. What about you? Let's grab some of your thoughts. Let's grab a couple early ones before we take our first break at 641-1010. Let's kick it off with Anthony into the night with Rick Ballew. What do you say, Anthony?
Hey, man, I appreciate you guys taking the call. I understand the early, you know, hot weather being something that could be in our favor. But coming off a 5-11 season, starting off 0-1 scares me far more. And I still remember that opening game against, I think it was the Packers a couple years back. And we almost won. But, man, this offense hasn't seen the field as a team yet. It terrifies me.
You know what? I totally understand where you're going with that, Anthony. You want the Jets here in week one. I don't know. Do you want Tennessee here in week one? I'm trying to find a win somewhere. And I know that every show is going to, once the schedule is announced, you're going to put down W's and you're going to put down L's next to them. I understand that thought, that you want to begin the year 1-0. I'm looking at it a little bit differently. I want to take on the very best early on for two reasons. Number one, I don't think the expectations this year in Jacksonville are going to be over the top. Again, they're going to be projected by most of these so-called experts to be the fourth team in the division of the AFC South. Number two, in week one, with a team that is supposed to be, or you would believe to be, relatively healthy, I think the Jaguars may have their best chance of knocking off Kansas City right out of the gate in week one. I think a team like Kansas City gets that much more improved as you move down throughout the course of the season. Just, you know, listen, Kansas City lost their defensive line. Kansas City cut bait with Eric Berry. Now, I understand Eric Berry wasn't there when they played a year ago at Arrowhead. He missed a lot of games. They have lost Kareem Hunt. We do not know about Tyreek Hill. I mean, Tyreek Hill could be suspended, or he is suspended. I'll have to double-check on that. Do we know if he is suspended or if he's going to be suspended? And if it's the latter, that he's going to be suspended, and it's for a matter of games, wouldn't you rather get Kansas City early where you play without him there? Let's bring back the situation that happened in 2018 right here, when this football team absolutely pounded the New England Patriots, who did not have Julian Edelman because he was serving a four-game suspension because of PEDs. What if Tyreek Hill can't play early in the year? Wouldn't you much rather have Kansas City on that opening day? In my opinion, without hesitation, the answer to that question is yes. All right, let's come back, grab some of your thoughts on this. Wide open phone lines if you'd like to join us on the Jaguars schedule. 641-1010. And let's talk about that early heat. And, you know, let me ask you this too. Because I honestly don't know the answer. Is it a different heat than you get Saturday in Gainesville? Or what you get Saturday in Tallahassee? I know the game times are different. You can have a nooner, or you can have a 3:30, or you may get a prime time at 7:30 or 8. But I've been going to Florida State home games since 1987. There were a lot of those games that were hot. I remember coming over here, however, what was it, 1989? To this day, arguably the hottest game that I've ever been to. That was when Brett Favre and Southern Miss beat Florida State right here in Jacksonville in either late August or early September in 1989. You know, I'll also say this, okay? One of the hottest games I ever covered in my life was a Jaguar road game. And I want to say the season was 1998 when the Jaguars opened up against the Chicago Bears at Soldier Field. And I'll never forget spending that Saturday with Alex Lamb and some other folks and then the heart of the city of Chicago, because Notre Dame opened up that year with Michigan. And Notre Dame beat Michigan to start the year on that Saturday, like one of the last days of August or the first day of September, whatever that date was. And they literally picked up the city of Chicago and moved it 180 degrees. It was one of the most incredible things I'd ever seen. But that next day, remember Curtis Enos tapping out diehard old school Jag fans? I remember sitting in Soldier Field in the press box and walking down to the field with 5 minutes to go in the game, being, oh my God, it was blistering hot. It was brutal in Chicago. And they had to go to Edgar Bennett. Curtis Enos was a holdout. He couldn't go. He was out of condition. He was overweight. Jags stole a big roadie. Week one then, one of the hottest games I ever went to. Well, let's talk about the heat here. And, you know, listen, I know the sun, if you're on the home side, you get shade there. It's on the visiting side. But is it honestly? I'm asking because I don't know the answer to this question. I should. I don't. Okay? I've always loved the heat. That's why I left Boston. I love the heat. I'm looking forward to the games in the heat. Let's get your opinion on them as well. 641-1010. Jag schedule to be released in less than 45 minutes. We're going to keep our eyes and ears peeled on it. Glad you're with us. Into the Night with Rick Ballew.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, prognosticating the Jaguars schedule. Some have leaked. A couple of dates have leaked, including Kansas City as the opener. A few reports on that. Wondering about primetime games. I think they'll get one. One is the number. And I'd like to see them close out the season by having a home date. Last 7 years on the road, including the last few years, two straight on the road. That just stinks. So that's got to be changed. I'm forecasting a home date to close out the end of the 2019 season. Let's get to your calls at 641-1010. Hold on! First things first. The Boston Bruins have lit the lamp twice in the first period tonight. Brad Marchand and Charlie McAvoy, 2-0. The good guys in Toronto. Only two of the original six around for this year's playoffs. And the Bruins up against it, down two games to one. I still can't believe what happened last night in Columbus. I'll talk about that a little bit later on. During news and notes, Tampa Bay actually offered up an apology. How great is that? Think about that for a moment. The organization offered up an apology. One thing that has always irritated me in athletics, and I understand sportsmanship and the small fraternity that athletes are a part of, but that's where fandom is hurt so much more than the actual athletes themselves. When you do watch what occurs on the 50-yard line after a football game, and it's honestly like soft porn, where guys are jamming tongues in each other's ears and grabbing each other and signing jerseys and giving all, I mean, and the fans are crushed. I like the fact that in this case, the Tampa Bay Lightning took it upon themselves to apologize to their fans. I wish there was more of that. 641-1010 is the number. Let's go to Fred, who's next up. Into the Night with Rick Ballew. How you doing, Fred?
Good. How are you doing, Rick?
All right. Everything's good.
Good. I was calling because I'm originally from Kansas City for over 50 years, and I got a real disagreement. You want to play the Chiefs because of the Heat?
Yeah.
That gives the advantage to the Chiefs.
Yeah, I know. I had a feeling you were going to say that coming from the Midwest. Right.
Yeah, I mean, I lived there 110, 115 in August. No wind. Down here, we got the breeze. Humidity's worse being here on the coast.
But it's the moisture. You just nailed it. It's the moisture. It's the humidity is what I should have said over the heat.
Yeah, but even then, it's worse in Kansas City.
I don't know. I spent 7 years in Chicago. I know I just referenced that game between the Bears and the Jags back in 98. It was brutal. There are examples. I think you're putting up a good argument, and I can't question you on it because you're bringing 50 years worth of knowledge living there. I just can't imagine where it would be actually hotter with the sun and the humidity in Kansas City than it would here in Jacksonville.
Well, I don't know, 110 degrees and 95%, 100% humidity, it usually doesn't hit that kind of heat and everything. Now, your other argument, you started talking after that as far as playing them early and some of those other reasons. I have to agree with you. I think even if they lose, it's, they're going against good competition and they'll find out what's what.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, I think you have a chance at this level to beat or bet a team early. This isn't like college football where it may take you 1 or 2 weeks. You really get into the normal flow of what you do well and what you do not do well pretty early in the NFL. I think there's going to be some sort of lack of knowledge for Kansas City and the Jaguar early opponents about what they are doing now offensively with Nick Foles. And again, we don't know what his full course of weaponry is going to be. We don't know what their style of offense is officially going to be. Like, for instance, are they going to have a fullback on the roster? Are they going to have a go-to tight end on the roster? Do they have a guy right now that they feel comfortable about that they can throw to out of the backfield? We know the backs that they have added, including Al Blue, just a couple of weeks ago. But is there really a guy there, or do they find one in this year's draft? Do they blitz a little bit more with Dom Capers now? So I think that there's a little bit of indecision because all of a sudden this is a common opponent because they just faced them. Not a divisional opponent, but you just saw this team a year ago in Arrowhead. And if you remember that game at Arrowhead, the Jaguars moved the ball all over the football field. They just couldn't do anything once they got in the red zone. I mean, I don't have it pulled up in front of me right now, but you go back and look at yardage, and I'm not even talking about garbage yardage late in the game. They moved the ball. That was a game, but didn't they go for it on fourth down in that game instead of settling for three? I mean, they moved the football. They just couldn't do anything in the red zone. But again, Kansas City has some serious changes that they are going to make, including that defensive line, and they've lost some serious speed as far as skill position players. Anyway, that was a good call. Let's go to Charles. He's next up into the night with Rick Ballew. How you doing, Charles?
Great. Is this the truth teller?
It is.
And I need you to tell me the truth. Are we going to be good this year? Is Fournette going to run the ball? Is Blue going to take that job from him if Fournette doesn't stand up? Is Nick Foles going to throw that long ball and have Chark catch it? Are they going to find the glue to put on their hands so that we don't drop balls at the most inopportune time?
I think out of the four questions that you asked me, the one I feel most confident about would be that Leonard Fournette is able to find himself. I don't think Alfred Blue takes that job. I don't right now have faith that that Nick Foles to DJ Chark is going to be a difference maker this year in the NFL? I mean, after all, they've never thrown a pass to one another at this point in their career. And DJ Chark proved a year ago that he couldn't stay healthy and that he had a lot to learn as a wide receiver. That's not saying that he can't completely turn around in another year. As bad as the passing offense was, and I want you to consider every ingredient there, Blake Bortles, no rushing attack, a bad offensive line in pass protection and in run blocking, and very, very subpar wide receiver play outside of Westbrook. They hung on to Keenan McCardell. Now, keeping Keenan McCardell as the wide receiver coach, to me, says they believe they have the right guy there to teach these younger wide receivers. And Lee comes off the shelf. Keenan Cole really took a serious turn back last year. And just, you know, he's an undrafted free agent. He doesn't have retirement money set. Look at all the wide receivers that are coming into the draft this year. And, you know, this may be a draft where you have only, let's say, one, maybe two wide receivers selected in the first round. I saw Prisco say today that he wouldn't be surprised if no wide receivers were selected in the first round. It appears to be a deep class, though, where you're going to see a lot of wide receivers coming in late. You know what that means? Those are guys that are trying to play right out of the gate for a second contract. It's such a different scenario when you're not a first-round pick where the team doesn't have the option to slap that fifth year on you, and then if you're that dominant, a sixth year as far as a franchise tag. You come in under a rookie contract, especially undrafted, and you're out of this league. I mean, there's not a lot of pedigree in you if you're undrafted. You look at a guy like Cole, he better be ready because he may not make the team if they select someone else in this draft or they find another kid off the street who's undrafted and outperforms him. But yet they hung on to Keenan McCardell. So Westbrook has improved. I got you there. Marquise Lee, we don't know what to expect coming back from an injury. And then all of a sudden you look at Keelan Cole, grades right now are thumbs down. Based on what we saw last year, Rashad Greene is gone. Who does that leave you with? It leaves you with DJ Chark, who they spent a very high draft pick on. Wonderful young man. Like him an awful lot. But my gosh, is he ever raw. You know, they raved about him on special teams, but the guy couldn't get healthy. I actually thought he should have been a late season IR guy, and he ended up not being one. But that's another serious question. The Jaguars are absolutely going to have to add a wide receiver at some point in the NFL draft and probably, you know, pick up a guy that's hanging out on the street just to bring into camp before the start of the training camp process coming up in very early August. Anyway, it does make you wonder. All right, let's stay with this theme. A little bit. I do want to, when we return, stay with the NFL, but I also want to talk quarterbacks for just a moment because I heard a little something this morning involved with Dak Prescott now after the Russell Wilson deal. And you look at the money that the Jags gave Nick Foles, and I just remember the mood around here when it happened. And it sounded a little bit like this. The Jaguars paid way too much money for Nick Foles. The Jaguars were only bidding against themselves. Do you remember that? Well, if you look at his money, and then you look at the Russell Wilson money, and albeit Russell Wilson is a better quarterback, he's proven it, won a Super Bowl and probably should have won two. But you look at the guys who are coming up. Dak Prescott. Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, and the money that they are going to earn compared to what's going on right now with Nick Foles, and ask yourself this question. Who would you rather have as your quarterback? Come back. We'll talk about that a little bit. Also, keep you updated if anything else does come in as far as the schedule for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Again, officially expected to be released tonight at 8 o'clock. Remember, tomorrow, the State of the Jaguars address at 10:30. Hear from Shad Khan, hear from Mark Lamping, hear from Tom Coughlin. Looking forward to getting out there tomorrow at 10:30 to hear about what is going on with this football team. We'll certainly talk about that during tomorrow night's show. We'll also be joined by the mayor tomorrow night. So we'll talk with Lenny Curry. That'll be right in exactly 24 hours. He'll be joining us around 7:30 tomorrow night on the program. All right, we got much more to do. Glad you're with us. This is 1010XL at 92.5 FM in Jacksonville.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, we got a 9 o'clock tonight. Glad you're back with us. The Jags schedule is less than 20 minutes from officially being released. There have been a couple of reports out of a few different games, and one of which is an opener here against Kansas City. I've seen that published a couple of places. That's really the only game I feel comfortable about going with. We do know that in Week 9, they will play at 9:30 a.m. local time. The game will be played in London at a later time, but 9:30 here back in the States. That is Houston and Jacksonville. I do feel very comfortable about the fact that the Jaguars, for the first time since 2011, will close out the season with a home date. So I'll go that far. And I also think that you're going to see only one primetime game. And that's going to be on a Thursday night. And if I had to guess, it's going to be a home game. But that's all I know. And there's a lot of stuff that's out there. And, you know, you can do what you want. I really don't need to say anything else because, as I said at the top of the show, I almost got in trouble for it 4 years ago. And I'm a guy there, Matt LaVey, who does not like to get in trouble.
That's something that I've learned quick, Rick.
You know what I mean?
Exactly what you mean.
I mean, especially on a night where the Yankees are getting beaten by the Red Sox 3-0, and where the Boston Bruins right now with a 2-0 lead over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Why would I want? Uh-oh. It's now 2-1.
Spoke too soon.
See what happens when I try to get cocky. Damn it, Boston. Boston needs a championship. It's been a while for those folks back there. Bruins up 2-1. Wow. All right, so, you know, the schedule's coming out at 8 o'clock. We'll, as soon as it is officially released, we'll go through it, and we'll have some fun with it. Tomorrow is going to be a very interesting day because the Jaguars are going to speak. And is it safe enough for me to say that I think this is the most important address that we have heard in a number of years? And I know that some right off the surface would argue with me on that because the whole London conversation has been gone now for about a half decade. And if you've listened to the local media over the years, every man and woman who has discussed this has told you, the Jaguar fan, not to worry about them going to London. Now, there have been members of the national media who have said things differently. But I think this year is more important for a number of reasons. Number one, we really want to know what the future is as far as downtown. Lot J and everything else. Remember what the last couple of years were all about. The planning, the architecture. Some thought it was a pipe dream. Others, including myself, think that it is very, very realistic. We're all getting older, right? Kind of want to see this thing happen. I mean, I'd kind of like it if they'd invite me down there to cut the ribbon. Well, if, hey, you can be with me. Maybe you can stick that shovel into the dirt for that very, very first shovel into the dirt. How cool would that sound?
That'd be pretty awesome.
Put you in a hard hat?
I'd be down.
We'll do it like we'll have like three-piece suits on and a hard hat.
I'll wear some work boots, actually. Would that work?
Oh, that'd be a lot of fun. But, you know, I kind of want that. Number two, I want to hear Mark Lamping. I want to hear what is going on revenues-wise. Revenue-wise, you know. And I'm not talking about the 15 to 18% whatever's coming from London. I want to know about the revenue streams that are going on here locally with the Jaguars. And I want to know how ticket sales are right now. And I want to know how ticket sales have changed since the Nick Foles signing, if there was a bump. And can this year's draft class create a buzz? I kind of get the feeling right now it can't. And I'm not a negative Nancy. I'm not coming in here. Hell, when they release the schedule, I'm going to predict the Jags. I already haven't beaten Kansas City in week one. I'm going 16-0. I'm not negative Nancy on this. But I don't think this year's draft class is going to take you Jaguar fans out there who haven't purchased seats yet and say, I got to get to the ticket window tomorrow. I just don't think it's going to happen. Believe me, I hope I'm wrong. Nothing I want more than that place to be sold out. Yeah, I'm a proponent of all this. I'm just trying to be realistic. And the third thing that I have to believe is on the come, what about a stadium? Whether it's a complete facelift, what are they going to do? We see these stadiums go up all the time. And, I mean, I can't believe the Georgia Dome is no longer there. I mean, that's what history tells us. And I don't think they're going to knock it down. But I think they're going to try to do something a little bit like what we've seen in Miami. You know, I mean, it's not a building like Soldier Field. It's not a building like Lambeau where they put a coat of paint on it and go out and play. The Jags have made a lot of changes. The inside of that stadium, the West Club, the East Club, the beer zones, they've done a lot of nice things. Okay? To keep up with everyone else, to even pull it ahead of everyone else. But I'm lucky enough to travel with the team as the sideline reporter. You would not believe what some of these new buildings look like. I mean, you travel to a place like Dallas, and the field, I'm talking about when they're getting ready to take the field. 6 minutes before game time, whatever, 7 minutes before game time. Whatever it is when they run out there. Maybe it's 10 minutes with a national anthem or anything else. And you look to the left, and you got folks pulling in their vehicles, handing their keys to a valet, and going right to their seats. That's what it's like in Jerry's world. And you see some of these new stadiums, like Minnesota, where we were a year ago. And, you know, Jacksonville's probably in the 20th percentile, I'm guessing. I mean, I just mentioned Arrowhead. That's an old building. Went to San Diego a couple times the last couple of years. That's right. They're now in L.A. Going to go to Oakland. That place is a pit this year, but it will be their final season. What's going to happen if all of a sudden that comes up? Time for a new stadium. How's that going to be funded? Hey, you know, or major renovations to the stadium right now. And I don't know that that is even going to be discussed tomorrow. This is just a little bit of Baloo thinking out loud, which I know can be scary. But that's just the way that the stadium is. Mark Lamping was there when they totally rebuilt MetLife, the old Meadowlands, and did that. Very, very smart businessman. So, let's just get a little bit ahead of the curve here. If that comes out tomorrow during this address, And I'm not telling you which way to think. That's you. I'm going to offer my opinion. But if you start hearing chatter about a new stadium or a facelift to the current stadium, that is the best thing that you could possibly want if you've ever been nervous about this team sometime or someplace down the road leaving. And again, I don't have any at all, even if this is not mentioned tomorrow. I don't have that worry in me. I know some of you do, because I still get asked about it here and there. So that would be, now I know taxpayers' money and all that type of stuff. I mean, that's going to be a huge issue. Okay, and people will complain, people will say whatever, but I'm looking at it strictly from a football point of view. If you hear that, that's even more of a reason why the Jags would be here. Now, if it went to a point where it's being used against you, then that's another whole conversation, but I just don't see that. I don't see it at all, knowing a little bit about the people involved in all this. And oh, by the way, this is just a gut feeling. I know absolutely nothing about any of this down the road. Not even a smidge. I just have to simply base it on the fact that I see it happen all across the NFL. And that sooner or later it's going to happen here. And for what it's worth, my guess would be is that the architecture and the overall foundation is good enough. You're just going to see some changes, to make it perhaps a little bit more modern. Now, you just put up those billboards, the largest in America. They've done some really incredible things, you know, with the terraces and the West and the East clubs and luxury suites and things like that. And I'm not into architecture. I don't know. But my guess is that there's other things that they can also do to make it just that much better. So those are the three things that I would look for tomorrow. That, the ticket sales, all right? That's very important to me. Should be important to you. And, you know, just the overall revenue after a bad year. Yeah, I mean, football fans, this state is... This state is consistent in one area. They come if you win. Look at Florida State ticket sales this past year. Look at the Gators during the Jim McElwain era. Okay? Look at the Bucks. Look what they're averaging right now. Look at the Miami Dolphins. That has always been an awful fan base. Look at the Tampa Bay Rays. The Miami Marlins is criminal what they're drawing. You know the only team that sells out consistently in the state of Florida right now is the Tampa Bay Lightning because they win, except for the last four games against Columbus. Not the Florida Panthers, not the Miami Heat, not the Orlando Magic. You look at every professional team in this state and every major college football blue blood factory in this state, it's only when they're winning. If you're not winning, less and less are coming. That's the state of Florida. And last year they were 5-11. So I would expect that the revenue that way is down a little bit. I don't know. Tomorrow's an important day. Want to get into this with Russell Wilson and Dak Prescott and Jameis and Marcus didn't have time, obviously. But we'll get to that in just a little bit. We also plan to get to the official schedule. It's expected to be released coming up here at 8 o'clock. So we will certainly get into that and take you through it as it is expected to come up in less than 5 minutes. The Jaguars and the NFL schedule, for that matter, to be released in just a couple of moments. So we'll do that. That'll be during hour number two as we go into the night with Rick Ballew.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, tonight's show brought to you by Key. Outstanding deals right now on Buicks and GMCs, including the Sierras. You can save up to $14,000 on the 2018 Sierras. Beautiful truck. I own one myself. Fully recommend them. Right there across the street from Tinseltown, that's Gate and Southside. Remember, you buy a new vehicle over at Key, whether it's a Buick or a GMC, lifetime warranty. Great people, fast, friendly service. Told you about, took my daughter's car in there recently. It was recalled. Hyundai recalled them. And in and out, just superb folks. Jeff Moore and his staff over there in the service department. So, really good people right down the road here on Southside, talking about the good folks at Key. All right, the schedule set to be released in just a couple of moments. We will keep you updated on it as soon as we get this information. But what we can tell you right now are these two games. That is the opener. The Jaguars are at home on opening day against Kansas City. As a matter of fact, I do have the schedule out now, and it has been officially announced. Here we go. We'll drum roll for this, perhaps. Can we pull that off, LeVay? I hate to put you on the spot. Actually, I'm not a drum roll guy. Yeah, thank you. Get rid of that. I'm not a drum roll guy. The Jaguars will open up against the Kansas City Chiefs, week one, right here in Jacksonville. Week two, the Jacksonville Jaguars travel to take on the Houston Texans. That is a divisional matchup. The dates, by the way, September 8th against Kansas City. That is a home game. Game two is September 15th at Houston. That is a 1 o'clock road game. Week three, the Jaguars will play 4 days later on Thursday night against the Tennessee Titans. That is an 8:20 kick. That'll be on September 19th against Tennessee. Week four, September 29th. The Jaguars travel to Denver. They will take on the Broncos. That'll be a 4:25 local time. That is when toe will meet leather. Week 5, October 6th, the date. The Jaguars go to Carolina to face the Panthers. That is a 1 o'clock game. Week 6, right here in Jacksonville, Florida. The New Orleans Saints roll into the First Coast. That date, October 13th, set for 1 o'clock. October 20th, which is week 7, the Jaguars go to Cincinnati to take on the Bengals. That is a 1 o'clock game. Week 8, October 27th, the Jaguars have a home date with the New York Jets. That is a 1 o'clock game. Week 9, November 3rd, the Jags-Houston Texans matchup will be in London. That game will be on at 9:30 a.m. Jacksonville time. Week 10 is the bye. Week 11 at Indianapolis. That's a 1 o'clock game on November 17th. November 24th. At Tennessee, that's a 4:05 kick. That'll be on November 24th. The Jaguars have really drawn some tough luck the last couple of years around New Year's and around Christmas Eve. That appears to be the case this year as well on the day before Thanksgiving. December 1st, Tampa Bay comes in. That's a 1 o'clock game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. December 8th, the Los Angeles Chargers come in at 4:05. Like that, instead of a 1 o'clock game, you get a 4 o'clock game right here in Jacksonville. December 15th, you go to Oakland. Ooh, they struggle on the West Coast, especially late. That's a 4:05 kick. The week after, December 22nd, at Atlanta. That is at 1 o'clock. And then December 29th, to wrap up the 2019 season, the Jaguars will take on the Indianapolis Colts at home. All right, a couple of things that stick out for me right off the surface. Number one, one primetime game. That's game number three. That is against Tennessee on a Thursday night at home. They open here with Kansas City in week one. I love it. I absolutely love it. I know I had a caller earlier in the program tell me how hot it is in the Midwest in the middle of the summer and that the heat would favor them over the heat and the humidity here. I don't believe that. I don't. I respect the caller and his opinion, but I don't believe it. I think if you're going to take on a perennial powerhouse, a playoff team like Kansas City, I want them right out of the gate, and I want them in that Jacksonville heat on that Sunday to begin the season September 8th. And I know it's going to be brutal out there. I mean, think of that Florida State-Boise game a week prior to that. It's going to be brutal. I don't know how to fix that. I don't know how to fix the weather. But I like it. I also like, for the first time since 2011, the Jaguars end their season with a home game. Again, that has been an absolute crime by the National Football League to make the Jaguars always a road football team at the very end of the year, including the last couple of seasons, two in a row on the road. This year, you got two straight on the 15th and 22nd, respectively, at Oakland and at Atlanta, and then the home date with Indy a week later to close out the year. So, hey, you know, that's a very important game as well. And football's football, and these are pros. I'm always looking for an intangible. You know, Indianapolis is an inside team. They're a dome team. They got to come outside here and play. And then again, in December, who knows? I mean, it could be perfect out here. Really, the elements wouldn't matter much for Indy. So I won't even try to make that much of anything. I think it would be much more of a factor for Indy if they were going to Buffalo or they were going to New York or they were going to New England, someplace where it's supposed to be brutally cold. Or even Tennessee. As I said, I thought the Tennessee game 2 years ago was the coldest game I've ever worked on the Jaguars sideline. So I don't know if that is a factor. But that could be, you know, for a playoff spot. Just think about that for a moment. I mean, Indy's going to be projected to win the division. If not, it's going to be Houston. And that's what, you know, when you evaluate divisions, I think we always evaluate teams. Evaluating quarterbacks, to me, is a very good way to really look at a team's schedule. And if I look at the Jaguars' schedule this year, I'm looking at playoff quarterbacks, difference makers at quarterbacks. And you finish the year and start the year with two of the very best, Pro Bowlers, and Pat Mahomes and Andrew Luck. And you get Andrew Luck twice. Okay? Week two, you got another Pro Bowler if he's healthy in Deshaun Watson. So you're taking on Pro Bowlers and playoff quarterbacks in week one and in week two. Week three, Marcus Mariota, not so much. Week four, Denver, well, Joe Flacco now, who are they going to draft? Not so much. Week five, Carolina, Cam Newton. Is he still a Pro Bowl quarterback? Is he still a playoff quarterback? Been very good. Also couldn't even throw the ball a year ago and run it. Right now, I'm still putting him down as a Pro Bowl quarterback. Although he's not 100%. New Orleans, a week later, Drew Brees, Pro Bowl quarterback. Should have been a Super Bowl quarterback. Cincinnati, a week after that. All right, not so much, but you're out on the road. Jets, no. Houston, same deal, as I just mentioned with Watson. Indy, same deal as I just mentioned with Luck. Tennessee, no. Tampa Bay, no. Los Angeles Chargers, yes. Philip Rivers. Oakland Raiders. Isn't that a coin toss right now? If I told you Derek Carr was a Pro Bowl quarterback this year, I don't think you'd be shocked. Some of you may be surprised, but I don't think you'd be shocked. In Atlanta, Matt Ryan, to me, is a playoff quarterback, a Pro Bowl quarterback. So you have 16 games. On my count, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I got 9 Pro Bowl quarterbacks. And a 10th would be if you added Derek Carr. It's a pretty tough schedule, folks, for a last place team. Holy smokes. That's a tough schedule. But I think it's a formidable schedule. I think it's a workable schedule. I do. I think it's closer to 5-11 than I do 10-6. I mean, what do you really look at that schedule as being right now? And I'll do it game to game. Matter of fact, I'll do it right now. We'll do it on the other side. We'll go through it week to week. I mean, what's great about doing nights here, LeVay, is that every talk show host in America is going to do this tomorrow. Into the Night with Rick Ballew. We do it tonight.
Instantly.
We do it right now. We're not waiting for tomorrow. We're going to do that right now. I have for you right now coming up the first out early on look at the Jaguars' one-loss record in 2019. You'll find that only here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM with Ballew as we go into the night.